Director,
are you ready?
Okay, we'll call the Tourism Committee to order. Sorry for the delay. We had technical problems, but I think we've got them fixed. Welcome to the new committee. We're going to do it a little bit differently than it's done in the past couple of years. We're going to actually have real meetings, several of them. We're going to have a tourism bill. No idea what it's going to look like yet. I'm hoping the members can come up with some great, fabulous ideas to put on the table, and we'll talk about them and put them together, and we'll have a tourism bill. And hopefully, after Labor Day, school start will be one of the issues. And we have, I think everybody's met everybody on the Commerce Committee, but we have one new member. Emily, I would like you to introduce yourself and tell them where you're from.
I'm Emily, and I'm a session only LA. And I graduated from the University of Minnesota over the summer. I was Judy Soderstrom's field staff, and now I'm here.
And she did work, like she said, she worked for Judy Soderstrom, and I know that that election was very, very close, but I'm hoping we won't ever have any votes that close on this. And former chairman of the Commerce Committee, Representative Davids, is in the other committee today, so he'll be missing, but he's a great person to have on the team. So with that, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
If you'd identify yourself for the record and then show us what you're all about.
Certainly. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is John Edmond. I'm director of Explore Minnesota Tourism. Thank you for agreeing to be on this committee, and I'm really honored to be able to be one of your first presenters. What I'd like to do with the time that we have today is to provide an overview of Explore Minnesota Tourism. We're a new organization designed to promote tourism in Minnesota. I'd like to discuss some of our strategies, give you a few of the highlights of some of the programs, the things that we're working on, and then conclude by showing you some of the current television advertising that we're using to promote Minnesota this winter. I apologize for the technology difficulties, but I think we're ready to go here. First thing I want to talk about is Explore Minnesota Tourism. Explore Minnesota Tourism was created July of 2004. It was an industry-driven effort, and that is to say the tourism industry wanted to do something to increase the level of awareness of tourism in Minnesota. As a result of that direction from the industry, we developed a proposal to create a separate structure for tourism, Explore Minnesota Tourism, to pull it out of the Department of Employment and Economic Development. And one of the key things that this does, it creates a tourism council made up that's actually been appointed by the governor, consists of four legislators and 24 others representing a variety of statewide associations. And they will now work in partnership with the state to promote tourism. That's really the key of why we're different, creating partnerships, not just relying on the state, working together to create a strong industry for the state. Currently, it's a transition year for Explore Minnesota Tourism. We're still tied administratively in some ways to the Department of Employment and Economic Development, but next year we will be fully independent as of July 1. One of the questions that often asked is, well, so what? We're a separate organization. What does that really mean? And I guess what it means is increased participation of the private sector. That was the heart of what we were trying to do, creating an additional partnership marketing opportunities, giving us greater flexibility in how we can respond to change, because this industry has substantially changed over the last 4 years, and to provide additional focus on our industry. I think last year, last session, we may have had one, in the last 2 years, maybe one hearing dealing with tourism, and our hope is that by creating this separate structure, we can have awareness not only in the state but also in the legislature, so we can work better with you and the issues dealing with this important part of our economy. Our mission is very simple. It's to promote and facilitate increased travel to and within the state of Minnesota. About 65% of our efforts are really to get non-residents, because non-residents spend more money and they stay longer. But we also want to keep Minnesotans traveling in Minnesota because that positive impact on our economy. If they go elsewhere, that's a leak. And so we want to get people in Minnesota traveling in Minnesota. And why we do it is for the economic impact. It's about a $9.2 billion industry in sales, provides over $1 billion state and local tax receipts, and employs about 230,000 people. And there's about 28.6 million visitors in Minnesota every year. It's an important part of our economy. It diversifies our economy in Minnesota, generates about $25 million per day in receipts. I talked earlier about that gross $9 billion figure, but this is maybe something people can understand. $25 million in receipts per day. And it's comparable to agriculture. We always hear about agriculture, particularly up here at the capital, and its importance to our economy. But if you look at tourism's contributions to gross domestic product, it is the same as agriculture. That, again, is one of the reasons why we wanted to elevate the status of tourism through Explore Minnesota's tourism. And it also impacts communities all throughout the state of Minnesota. This slide here just shows where some of the employment is in tourism. You'll notice that it covers pretty much every corner of the state. And one of the things that often strikes me about this slide is that we often think tourism is just a few resorts in northern Minnesota, but tourism impacts the entire part of the state, and half of the travelers to Minnesota actually come to the metropolitan area. We often don't think of the metro area as a mecca for tourism, but it is in terms of where people come to travel, and then in terms of where people are employed in the state of Minnesota. Our goals are, we have four primary goals, and it's tied to those figures, economic impact figures I mentioned earlier. It's to grow travel-related sales and employment, to generate increased sales from tax revenue from tourism-related industries, and also to develop, this is actually a new strategy, to develop industry partnerships to expand our reach. Again, when we're talking Explore Minnesota Tourism, we're not just a state entity. We're an entity that has to work in partnership with the private sector. So we've developed a strategy. This is in our 2005 marketing plan, and you should have copies of that. But this is something we added in order to reach out more to the private sector. Our staff right now, we have about 50 FTEs. That's actually down from about 4 years ago, we had over 70 FTEs. Our state funding is about $7.7 million, and last year we received approximately $309,000 in federal funding. This was for some marketing, some grants that we applied for some scenic byways funding. In addition to that, and these figures vary from year to year, but we generate substantial dollars from the private sector to support our programs. About half of it's cash, half of it's in kind. But here on this year, it happened to be about $4.6 million. That's in addition to the general fund appropriation for tourism. And this isn't actually a line item per se. These are just the marketing partnership dollars. Some of it's revenue that we bring in to support our website or for our state travel guides. Some of it is marketing partnerships that we do with businesses, et cetera, that's more in kind. But we do document all of that private industry match. Organizationally, we're really quite simple. We're organized in three primary units. The advertising and marketing unit is the group that deals with promotions, with the marketing, with the advertising, and also the international and the travel trade. Our operations and consumer services area deals with the travel information centers, our call center, as well as our exploreminnesota.com website. And then our industry relations unit is the unit that deals with grant programs, community development, regional associations. We also, I might add, have regional office staff located in Duluth, Brainerd, Thief River Falls, Mankato, and then also a regional staff person here in the Twin Cities. These are our 10 strategies. I won't read, these are actually five, I've got another slide here, but our 10 strategies in our current marketing plan. I won't read those. You can get all the detail you want from our marketing plan. But they focus on advertising, media, PR, regional and statewide partnerships, travel information services, promotion of group and package travel, and also international marketing, research. Research is very key, and I'll talk a little bit more about that because that's really what we use to devise the programs we do. Developing, this is number eight, is new, developing, raising cash and in-kind resources to extend our reach, providing strategic leadership for tourism. And then the 10th strategy in our current plan is just completing the transition to Explore Minnesota Tourism. If you look at the advertising that we do, we have about a $3 million advertising budget. Our advertising focuses primarily on the north central region of the United States because we are primarily a drive market. Most people that come here by car. This is where we get our biggest return on investment and where most of our inquiries and potential visitors come from. I could add here, and I think I will, that if you look at our ad budget compared to our other states, We're actually lower than most of our competitors. Our advertising budget is lower than Missouri, lower than Michigan, lower than Wisconsin, lower than Illinois. Even South Dakota has a bigger ad budget than we do. But one thing I can say on a positive note is that despite the fact that our budget has been reduced over the years, we have maintained our ad budget. And it's been very hard to do in the face of budget cuts because that's the easy thing to cut. But that is the core of what we do. That's why we exist, is to sell Minnesota. And if we were to cut this, then you'd really have to question how effective can we be. So there's positive and negative in that. But it's about a $3 million ad budget. We use a variety of tactics, television, radio, print, direct mail, interactive, and as well as a variety of cooperative advertising tactics. Some of these are relatively new. This is just an example of how we leverage our resources. We target certain publications that give us the biggest return. We negotiate with that publisher to get the space. Then we pass that space on to the tourism industry at a cost less than if they were to buy the ad on their own, get more of a presence for the state, provide a banner on there. And these co-op programs don't involve us putting money in. It's just a way of us working together with the industry to focus our message for greater reach. The other thing that I want to talk about is some of the promotional partners. And this is the direction we're really going with Explore Minnesota Tourism, is trying to leverage the resources that we have with others. Three examples here. One is with Target and Kodak and the way we promoted scenic byways. We're trying to get people to travel on the scenic byways. There's 20 of them all throughout the state of Minnesota. We worked with, tried to find partners to bring in to basically expand on the dollars that we were able to receive. In this case, it was from the a federal grant. And try to encourage people to take photographs when they're on a scenic byway, use Kodak film, and then to go in a Target store to have it developed. And when it's developed, then you get a map of the Minnesota scenic byways. There really were no dollars exchanged hands here. It's just a matter of a promotional partnership where we all get exposure to extend our reach for promoting Minnesota. We did something last spring also with Crestliner in Gander Mountain. What we're selling in Minnesota to a great degree is lakes. What do you need when you go on a lake? You need a boat. What do you need when you have a boat? All the stuff that goes in the boat. So we developed this partnership with these entities, trying to sell Minnesota vacations, trying to sell boats, trying to sell stuff at Gander Mountain. Again, no dollars were exchanged, but we developed a contest around it to drive people to our website, try to encourage them to go into a Gander Mountain location in order to fill out an entry form, so that drove customers into their stores, and then also increased awareness of Crestliner boats. And what we did last fall with Holiday Gas Stations was a similar approach, where we're promoting the concepts of trip on a tankful, take a trip in Minnesota on a tank full of gas. Virtually everywhere, you can go anywhere in Minnesota on a tank full of gas, depending on what kind of car you drive, of course. Talking to some promotional partners. Holiday is, they really see the benefit of tourism. That's not a traditional tourism partner, but you talk to any executives at Holiday, and during a peak tourism season, they see their sales go up. So they saw the benefits of working with us. Plus, they're trying to get people from the pumps into the store. So this promotion was to try to get people to win free gas, take a trip in Minnesota. You had to go inside to get a fall color map and to register. And so, again, it was a promotional partnership where we did not exchange dollars, but we just put our promotional ideas on the table, and they did this, and we did this, and it was a different way to sell Minnesota. These are some other examples of some partnerships involving our regions. We have four regions in our states and differing regional associations involving the Metro, North Central, West, Arrowhead, and Southern Minnesota. And what we've been doing on the state is trying to work with these groups, again, to funnel their dollars, to pool it together as opposed to having individual organizations or groups doing advertising on their own, pool it together, find out where they have common target markets and extend their reach, and then we build that into a part of our program. So we again extend our reach through these regional partnerships. And then this is a final example of a partnership that I wanted to show you. It's called the Explore Minnesota Golf Alliance, where we work with some of the top golf courses in the state that are mostly interested in attracting non-residents, pool their dollars together, and try to get exposure in target markets to get non-residents travel to Minnesota to golf. I'm not sure you can read that. Can you read that, John? I can't read that ad right here, but this is, just trust me, that's an Explore Minnesota golf ad. And then our PR, we do quite a bit in PR. I mentioned that earlier as part of our strategic marketing tactics. And we work with in 2003, over 9,000 media contacts, trying to get people to write good stories about Minnesota. And there's value of that. It's actually in some ways more valuable than even advertising, because it's objective reporting about things to see and do. And so that's an important tactic of ours as well. Internationally, about 4 to 5% of all the travelers to the state come from international markets. Our top international markets are Canada, the UK, Japan, Germany, and Scandinavia. We work in partnership with the tourism industry when we coordinate with them on trade shows or sales missions and the like. But we also do some multi-state partnerships with other states, because international marketing is very expensive. We can't do a whole lot on our own. We have to work with others, and so we work with groups along the Mississippi River, the Great Lakes, or Rocky Mountain. If you look at this, what this slide here shows you is the people that that contact us throughout the course of the year for information for travel. We have a variety of different ways we touch customers: through our call center, through mail, people ordering materials on our web, our advertising, and our TACs. We have about 3.4 million customers that we served in 2004. Overall, if you look at the inquiries, and this doesn't count the TICs, but if you look at our overall inquiries in 2004, they were up 13% over 2003 and 24% over 2002. If you want to look at where those inquiries are coming from, you see roughly about a third of them from Minnesota, but the rest of them Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, and again, these are our target markets. This is primarily the people that we're trying to encourage to come and travel to Minnesota. When we do provide information to them, we produce a variety of different publications. The center of this slide shows our Minnesota Explorer newspaper. You may have seen that. That's inserted three times of the year in the Star Tribune. We produce about 300,000 copies of that, promoting the different seasons in Minnesota. We also produce our statewide guide, which you should have a copy of there, and then a variety of different activities guides. One of the things I want to point out about these guides is when you look at them, they're all industry supported. We do not put state dollars into these guides, but rather rely on advertising to take care of these publications. And that's another example of how we partner with the private sector. In addition to responding to inquiries, the other thing is probably where the growth is, not only in Minnesota, but in any other state, is on the web. People are going to the web for their vacation planning. And that's where we've seen our largest growth in terms of inquiries. That's our primary touch point lately in terms of trying to get people to travel. ExploreMinnesota.com has accommodations information about events, information about attractions throughout the state. We provide we have a database that includes anybody in Minnesota for free. We have an extranet system that allows them to update that information on a regular basis on their own. And if people want enhancements, if they want banner ads, they want different positionings, they want to promote deals, they want to drive people to their web, those types of options, add-ons, enhancements are available at a fee, which then goes in to cover the costs of operating and maintaining the web. And this slide here just shows a little bit where that growth has been, and it continually grows. Again, we're not alone, but we received about 18 million page views in 2004. The other thing I wanted to talk about is our Travel Information Center program, and I wanted to talk about it because there's been real changes in the way that we run our TICs over the last several years. In the year 2000, we had 12 Travel Information Centers. Funding for these Travel Information Centers used to come through the Trunk Highway Fund. The legislature, shortly after that, dedicated trunk highway funds specifically for roads. So these were being used for information centers. It wasn't, I think, keeping with the purpose of that fund, which was fine, but we lost basically all our funding to operate our TICs, so we had to figure out something else. What we did is we took a look at basically where do we get our biggest return on investment, where are the biggest numbers of people coming to the travel information centers, because they are serving to get people to spend more money. And what we did is we looked at those on the interstate and those at the borders, those were the ones that really made the most sense, most business sense. The interior ones, the ones that were not on the interstate, the ones that were located in the center of Minnesota, it was hard to justify allocating other resources to keep them going. So instead of closing them down, what we did is we met with the tourism industry and tried to find out a different way. Make a long story short, the result of that was that we developed partnership TICs. And these partnership TICs, basically, they're still state buildings. They're managed by the Department of Transportation, but we don't run them with state staff. They're run by convention and visitors bureaus and local tourism organizations. And we still provide the same information. The consumer, I think, probably doesn't know the difference, whether it's state staff or private sector staff. But we found a different way to kind of keep these things going. And this was a innovative way of trying to continue to do the same thing we've done before, but because we had less dollars, we had to do something else. We also actually have expanded it. We have more, strangely enough, we have more travel information centers than we used to have back in 2000 when we had a bigger budget. What we've done is we've created an affiliate travel information center program. We took a look at the fact that there already were a lot of travel information centers throughout Minnesota, and some of these were run by convention and visitors bureaus or chambers of commerce and the like. What we did is we developed a set of criteria. What is an affiliate TIC that meets certain requirements? We provided them with statewide information. We promoted them on our state highway map and our state travel guide and our website. And we're using them as a distribution point for Explore Minnesota information. So we designated 20 back in 2004, and we're actually looking to expand that program even again in 2005. So even though they're not the traditional TIC the way we used to run them in the past, we have more. We just have them operated a little differently. We also have a grant program. We have about $750,000 in funding, which goes to communities and organizations all throughout Minnesota for various marketing purposes. We have a match on there. This has actually changed, but it's a 40% state, 60% private sector match. And that has remained, even though our budget has decreased over the years, we've maintained that at about 10% of our overall budget has gone for grant programs back to communities. And that affects pretty much every part of the state. And then we also do a variety of things interagency-wise. We have actually a regular interagency group made up of these state agencies that meet. We've been trying to find different ways that we can work together in providing electronic information to consumers, providing snow reports, fall color reports, and the way we're promoting state parks and arts. In some of these cases, we'll work with an agency on a project like a snowmobiling event or a fishing opener, etc. But one of the things that we are working most closely with these other agencies on right now is a scenic byways program, where we're promoting not just tourism in general, but we're promoting arts, we're promoting parks, we're promoting resources all throughout the state. Research, I'll just quickly touch on this. It is very key to how we sell Minnesota. We're always analyzing things like return on investment. Are we getting the biggest bang for our dollars? Is our advertising having an effect in terms of people actually coming to Minnesota and spending money? So we analyze that. We analyze programs such as scenic byways, golf. Right now, analyzing our publications to make sure that we're really putting the publications together in a way that meets the consumer's need. And one new thing that we're doing, we have statewide economic impact, but one of the things that I've been hearing from the industry is they want to know what is the local economic impact, what's the economic impact of tourism in their community. So we've partnered together with the University Tourism Center, ourselves, and the regional associations. We haven't actually finalized the contract yet, but we put out an RFP, and we're looking to get information just for Minnesota on the impact of tourism, not just on a statewide level, but also on a local down to a county level. And that's something that we'll be doing in 2005. So what's ahead for Explore Minnesota Tourism? Well, basically, now that we're a separate organization, we're going to be working with our tourism council and developing some long-range plans to take a look at where do we want to take tourism over the next 5 years. And one of the ways that we're going to accomplish this is we're planning a series of outreach meetings throughout Minnesota over the next 6 months. We'll be meeting in at least two regions throughout the state over the next 6 months, where we want to meet with stakeholders the tourism industry, and others to find out how are we doing, what should we do better, how can we more effectively partner to sell Minnesota tourism. We'll be looking at funding issues, how do we grow tourism given the constraints that you're all dealing with in terms of state budgets, how do we still grow tourism in that kind of environment. And then we'll also be looking at other issues, such as the issues that I know a lot of you are concerned about relative to resorts, and the decline in the number of resorts and the issues relative to zoning changes that are impacting our industry. One thing that I will add as a side note is that we're working with the Initiative Foundation up in Brainerd to hold a conference in March that's going to bring together county zoning administrators, the resort industry, citizens, and others to address what are the issues relative to resorts. How can we solve some of these concerns regarding there's moratoriums on zoning for resorts and allowing to expand? Can we even break through that and find some common ground? So we are sponsoring that with the Initiative Foundation, and that will happen in March. Now, the last part of my presentation here before you get to the fun part of some of the TV ads, I just want to mention some of our specific advertising coming up in 2005. Our 2005 advertising involves some increased media. We're doing some television in Chicago that we have not done in the past. And the way that we're able to do that is we're not producing any new TV for 2005. We have some TV that we did before. Frankly, we're not overexposed with that given the budget that we've had. So we're using the same spots that we did last year, saving those dollars, making additional media buys in markets that are very expensive, but we want to get to, such as Chicago. We're doing increased exposure activities and broadcasts. Print, generating leads through online and direct, and doing some new cooperative advertising. This is just one ad that we're using for spring, summer, one print ad. Trying to get people to use their vacation days in Minnesota. People have vacation days. They don't necessarily always use them, at least the way we would like them to use them. We want to encourage folks to reconnect with family and friends throughout Minnesota. That's really all I wanted to say about spring-summer. But the last thing I want to leave you with is about our winter campaign. Our winter campaign basically is, winter is a tough season to sell. We have a travel deficit in the state, and it's primarily because during these months, people go somewhere warm. And we want to keep them traveling in Minnesota. And what we're doing is we're trying to encourage people not to hibernate, to get out and explore Minnesota. We have some preseason tactics, a two-part campaign. Preseason was really getting out through the holiday, involving shopping, and these are some of the tactics that we use. But the in-season, which we're in right now, involves some television, which we haven't done in winter before, some newspaper, and I'll talk about the television a little bit more. Newspaper, online advertising, some promotions with Fox Sportsnet. We're doing some things with Timberlodge Steakhouse and another partnership, trying to get people out and about in Minnesota, radio and snow condition reports. So we have a really heightened campaign this winter. And what I wanted to finish with is the television. This is actually a direct mail piece that we have right here for winter. And this was actually the Timberlodge Fox Sportsnet promotion that we were doing. I wanted to leave you with the winter spots, and I'll just set these up a little bit. I've already talked about the campaign around the theme of Don't Hibernate. So what we did with the winter spots is we created some 15-second spots, which are different than what we've done in the past versus the 30-second or even the 60-second spots. And we wanted to touch on all different activities, indoor and outdoor, of what you can do traveling throughout Minnesota this winter. And so part of the buy, and these are primarily in Minnesota and then the surrounding states where you'd see these ads, is they're sandwich spots where you'd see a 15-second spot. You might see another two or three 30-second spots in a commercial break, and then the 15-second at the end. And we always paired the winter or the indoor with the outdoor spots. So with that, Paul, if you're ready, I think we're just going to shoot through all. We did six of them, and we're just going to shoot through all six of them right in a row here. And then I'll answer any questions that you have.
You have popcorn with us?
Next series.
Okay. Thank you.
Close my presentation, Mr. Sharon.
Thank you. I hope we have a lot of questions. Representative Yaros.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Edmund, you are going. You're still going to be a state agency, but a separate agency from DTED or DEED. You're not becoming a private concern. You're still going to be part of the state government.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, yes, that is correct. We will still be tied. We are still a state agency. The big difference is just being involved with the private sector. We're still be working with you and the legislature and finding alternative funding, whether it's state funding or other funding, to grow tourism. If you look at any of the 50 states, there really is no true private, totally private tourism entity in any state.
Mr. Chairman, you mentioned international tourism. What is the tourism office doing, international tourism promotion or anything?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative, our international efforts, we actually have less staff devoted to international than we've had in the past. A lot of what we do is in cooperation with the industry. We have certain targeted countries, as I mentioned earlier in the presentation, and we will work with tour operators and media primarily. We don't do consumer marketing. We work with the tour operators in those countries to try to get them to develop packages to Minnesota, and then we try to get the international media to write stories about Minnesota. And then we do that through participating in trade shows, organizing sales missions. It's probably a lot of one-on-one marketing versus advertising because it is so expensive.
Mm-hmm. And one more, Mr. Chairman. I was flying back from Europe last month, and happened to be sitting next door to a guy from Ireland who was going to Colorado to ski with his family, all four or five of them. He said that United Airlines and it wasn't Aspen, it was the other mountain, what is it called, in Colorado, had a package for them. It was pretty reasonable, and he does that every year with his family. Last winter he was in Vermont, and this winter he was going to Colorado. I was wondering if Northwest Airlines and some of the ski hills in Minnesota could do that, because Northwest Airlines flies to Western Europe, not directly to Scandinavia, but first they have their own skiing, but Japan and so on. I think that probably there would be some potential to get some skiers and other tourists that way.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative, we've worked with Northwest Airlines in some product development. Northwest has really put a lot of shopping packages together to come to the Twin Cities, Mall of America, and Minneapolis, and the like, and we continue to work with them. We also actually, as you saw that slide about the multi-state partners, we work with Rocky Mountain International, and as you know, we don't have any Rocky Mountains, but we do actually try to work with those states that are targeting international that don't have the gateway airports, and so we try to get them here before they go to Colorado. And so we've been that's why we've been involved with that multi. We've been working as a gateway city as a part of Rocky Mountain National.
Representative Gazelka.
Mr. Chair, Director, how does the use of four-wheelers and snowmobiles, how does that impact tourism in Minnesota?
Well, I think the four-wheelers, as you know, is rather controversial. I think the studies in terms of the economic impact are still developing on that. As far as snowmobilers are concerned, snowmobiling is a big part of tourism. I don't have the figures at my fingertip, but people that snowmobile spend a lot of money. A lot of money in hotels, gas, restaurants, and the like. So that's why we actually try to target snowmobilers. It's a very important part of winter tourism. You'll even notice it in our ad there. We're trying to encourage snowmobiling. So it's very key. The ATV issue, we recognize, has a big economic impact. There are places where we can direct, you know, the ATV parks where we direct people. One of the issues on ATVs is until we get the system of trails together, it's hard for us to get too far ahead in marketing ATVs, because my concern would be then we'd be creating some conflict if we as a state agency are out there telling, come to Minnesota and ride your ATV, and then they ask us, where can you go? I'm not sure I have a clear answer yet in my mind on that. So, but I suspect that there's a significant economic impact there as well.
Mr. Edmund, I've got just a couple real quick before I go to some of the other members, before I forget. I was told the other day that up on the Canadian border, and I don't recall the highway, but it would be near the Boise Fort Reservation, the first thing that people see when they come into Minnesota from Canada, the very first thing they see is a white, dilapidated trailer. And that is the Travel Information Center or the Visitor Center. Is that true?
I'm not sure if it's a dilapidated trailer. We do have a travel information center. If you're talking, are you talking Grand Portage?
It could be Grand Portage.
Because we have a travel information center that's actually a MnDOT facility. It's a rest area. That used to be one of the TICs that we staff. We don't staff that anymore. We do that actually in partnership. I believe it's with the tribe.
But Mr. Edmonds, it still is the first thing Canadians see when they come into Minnesota, and if it's you're saying it's part of MnDOT. MnDOT operates it in cooperation with the tribe, and if that's the case, wouldn't it be better if you operated it?
Well, Mr. Chairman, if we're talking about travel information centers, the 12 that we started out with and then the 6 now that are partnership TICs, those are all state Department of Transportation run rest areas. The Department of Transportation has had that responsibility for quite some time. In fact, someone from behind me could probably correct me, the Department of Transportation used to have the responsibilities for the information center part of that, but that was transferred over to us. But they still own the buildings, and all of the 12 TICs, no matter where they are in Minnesota, our rest areas run through the Department of Transportation, and they take care of all the maintenance, and they own the buildings to take care of electricity. All we are responsible for is the Travel Information Center piece.
Okay, well, thank you on that. But when I heard about this, and I know, you come to Minnesota, and the first thing you see, usually the first impression you have is what you think of the rest of the state or wherever you go. So I would hope that people in the back row are listening, and maybe they could get a bonding bill drafted to put in a building in that spot. We could get that out of here this year.
Mr. Chair, we'll look into that specific. If you need a little more information,
I will get you
on the specific location.
I will get
and its condition.
I will get that location very specific and get that information to you. Representative Simpson.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Mr. Edmonds, and I'm very pleased to hear that you're working on this joint effort up in Brainerd with the Lake Shore Development and environmental concerns. I think that as a tourism council and as this tourism committee, the way of life that we've known with the resorts is suddenly slipping by us. And I think we need to be very aggressive, and I think the committee needs to be aggressive in trying to do whatever we can to save what resorts we have and continue to see growth in that business instead of decline. So I would certainly encourage you and your staff to make every effort to continue working towards that. I think it's great.
Thank you. Representative Moe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Edmund, many of us live in northern Minnesota, and we have a snow problem. Yeah, I wonder if there's anything you're planning on doing about the quantity and earliness of the snowfall.
Mr. Edmund, before you answer that question, I was quoted on the radio 2 years ago of introducing legislation to create more snow, but the Democrats opposed that.
I'd like to correct Mr. Chairman. I campaigned on a campaign of early and regular snowfall. But specifically, there is a disparity in snowfall, and oftentimes people live in the cities. They look out the door and they see that there's not a whole lot of snow on the ground, and they don't realize that up in our neck of the woods, we've got a 2-foot base. All the trails are groomed, skiing and snowmobile. Does that come into your calculations as far as advertising for Minnesota to remind folks that just because you look out the door, there's no snow. There sure is a heck of a lot of snow up north.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chair, Representative, that is a challenge. You just hit on what the problem is. A lot of the people that go up north for cross-country skiing and snowmobiling come from the Twin Cities, and if they don't see snow in their backyards, they think, well, there's nothing up north. They just don't think that way. You know, there is snow. What we try to do is a couple of things. As you see from these commercials, we're promoting both the outdoor and the indoor winter activities, trying to get that message across. We also provide snow condition reports electronically. When we're driving people to our website, if you go to exploreminnesota.com, you can sign up to receive electronic snow condition reports. So that if people are really interested in that, we'll then shoot them outbound emails if they agree to sign up, telling them what the conditions are in terms of snow throughout the state of Minnesota. But we've had a very tough, in fact, weather-wise, we've had a tough stretch of years. Last summer, was a bad year for Minnesota tourism because of how cool it was. It's just like snow, but in the summer,
Converse.
When in the Twin Cities it's cool, people don't think about going up north to the cabin to cool off. So that was a problem last summer. And the same is true with winter. We've had, five of the last 6 winters without the traditional snow that we've had. So I'm hoping it can change.
One last question, Mr. Chairman. You talk about public-private partnerships, and I believe you said there was something like $700,000 available for this project for grants, 60-40 match, 60% private or some other entity, and 40%. What's the process for a community to actually access those funds? There's efforts in our district to develop tourism, as there are, I'm sure, in all of them, and how would we go about doing that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, our grant program is actually divided up into 2 major components, and that is the spring, summer, and then the winter grant programs. And we announced our guidelines. We work with the industry, we work with an industry group to develop the guidelines to focus those dollars on different categories of activities, marketing, group tour development, international. And part of the guidelines, I believe it's approximately 75% of all those activities have to be focused on bringing in non-residents to Minnesota. So basically, the process is quite simple. You would get a copy of our application from any of our regional offices or from our office.
It's available online.
It's all online as well. In fact, you can go right now to exploreminnesota.com and I think believe go down to the industry section and you can get the guidelines there. And then sit down. I would encourage anyone in your community to sit down with our regional manager and just walk through the process in terms of what's eligible. We end up, if people are eligible for the program, we haven't been doing any choosing. If you meet the guidelines and the dollars are there, people get funded. So it's not necessarily a competitive. We've talked about that with the industry, making it competitive. And there's been some resistance, I think, in the industry of doing that. But as our dollars become less, which they have over the years, and the number of applicants increase, there isn't as much money to go around. So we actually had to reduce our caps in terms of the amount of funding that was available. It used to be up to $20,000, and I believe it's now about $10,000 right now per community. And then we also changed the match. And that was basically in response to how the industry wanted to use those dollars. But it's open, to make a long story short, it's open to any nonprofit, tourism association, or statewide association.
Thank you.
Representative Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Edmund. I was kind of going back to your cooperative marketing, and I was sort of struck when I looked at that, at, you know, thinking about, you know, our small resort industries and the problems that we all recognize that we have with that. And I applaud you for looking at the public-private partnership, you know, when we're dealing with deficits and problems with funding. But it just made me kind of wonder, you know, how are the small resorts, I was just going back to say, you know, Target Kodak, just because it made me think, what about the local drugstores? What about, you know, are our small businesses in these resort communities getting shut out a little bit simply because they can't compete with these larger entities? You know, I know it's a problem that goes around and around. It sort of reminds me of vending machines at schools for funding. But I am a little bit concerned about that. And then also another part of that is, you know, what are you doing to get some of those small resorts to be more involved with your website? I'm thinking of times when, for instance, I've accessed it looking for things, and I know that there are some small resorts out there, but they don't interact, and so you just simply pass them by. Is there something that your organization is doing to kind of bring them up to speed or, you know, with the rest of them so that they can participate a little bit more? I'm just curious where you're going with that.
Well, let me just take the first part of your question in terms of the major promotions that we're doing. The major promotions such as Target and Kodak are trying to get in that big public splash. And there's even smaller resorts like the Maddens or the Cragans that wouldn't necessarily have the marketing power to get that kind of reach out there. So we use these larger marketing partnerships to drive people to exploreminnesota.com, where then you find the information about the smaller resorts and kind of funneling it down to the accommodations and attractions throughout Minnesota using these bigger pushes. There are a lot of different opportunities for the smaller resorts to be involved in our programs. In our marketing and opportunities piece, we highlight some of those. It's not just on the web, and it's not even just the statewide guide. For instance, the fishing guide versus the statewide guide. The statewide guide, those ads are pretty expensive. That's a big, colorful piece. It goes out pretty wide. A lot of the smaller resorts probably don't have the dollars to advertise, to take out an ad in that. So then we have opportunities like our fishing guide, which we have like $500 little listings that we can provide them. And that's a little more targeted for their purposes as well. And then in trying to get them more involved, the last part of your question, I regularly participate in all of the statewide association meetings, the Congress of Minnesota Resort and Minnesota Resort Associations, talking to them about these different opportunities. And just next week, we have our Minnesota Tourism Conference up in Breezy Point, which we hope then to have more involvement from the smaller resorts, the industry throughout Minnesota, to sit down and find out different ways that they can either participate in existing programs or we can develop something new. And I'm always looking for new ideas of way to get the industry to work together. And so we're constantly exploring that.
Mr. Edmund, I've got just a thought came up. I used to run a summer camp up in Hackensack. And 1 month out of the summer, we leased it to Concordia Language Villages, which is up in Representative Moe's district. And we have people from not only all over Minnesota, but all over the United States and all over the world would come to this camp. And it never failed that someone would drive up, or they'd fly up and rent a car, and they'd drive to the camp and be the parents and maybe a few children, and they'd leave one or two children at the camp. And people would ask, where can we go for a week? We don't know the area. There's nothing to do here. Or, you know, you get a whole litany of things and questions. Have you ever worked with groups like, not necessarily Concordia Language Village, but groups like that, that when they send out their information for opening day, when they bring the kids from all over the country, that there could slip a little brochure in there that says these are the opportunities you have in Minnesota while your child is attending the Language Village? Or have you ever done something like that? Or
Well, Mr. Chair, we mostly work through with specific events like that or our programs. It's usually a lot of the work is with through the convention and visitors bureaus that then work with these different local groups that bring international visitors, and then they provide a lot of the information. With some of the bigger conventions and things in Minnesota, like for instance last summer, the ASIE is a big convention of meeting planners. We worked actually with the Minneapolis Convention and Visitors Association to provide information to those delegates in advance of their coming so that they would not only come to that event, but then they'd stay here and maybe explore a different part of the state and stay a little bit longer on their vacation.
So on a large scale, you do that?
On a larger scale. On a smaller scale, not as much at this point. Okay.
Now, Mr. Edmund, another question I get asked all the time. It's when the governor has his fishing or deer hunting opener or snowmobile day. Who pays for that?
The exception is, full disclosure, state staff comes out of the taxpayer when we send state staff there. But if you look at the governor's fishing opener as an example, that is a community effort. We organize it at Explore Minnesota Tourism. But all of the money raised for the promotion and that event, the celebration dinner, is all raised through a local organizing committee. It's probably about $100,000 that is generated by the local community. And just to back up on the governor's fishing opener, bids go out on the governor's fishing opener where we send it off to the state and who wants to host this. And a part of the bid requirement is you have to come up with the cost to cover the governor's fishing opener. All these events are a little bit different. In the case of the governor's deer hunting opener, that was all raised through private sector dollars. We worked with the Minnesota Deer Hunting Association and Department of Natural Resources. But that was all raised dollars to cover the cost of that. The snowmobiling event that the governor holds, that is also, it's actually through MinUSA, snowmobiling group. So we don't actually fund directly any of these governor's events. We raise the money from the private sector. Yes, there is some governor's, there's some state cost, but that's just in the staff time that we put into it.
I was glad to hear that answer. Could you tell me or furnish for us later what it costs for a 15 or 30-second television ad like you showed us here? What it would cost to run that in the Twin Cities or Alexandria, Duluth, or if you run one in Illinois or wherever. Could you give us a ballpark what that costs to do that? You don't have to answer now. You can work with some people and come back later. And then as a follow-up to that, have you ever had public service announcements or ads similar to that run on public television or public radio?
Actually, in terms of public, we've done some public service announcements right after September 11th. We work with the tourism industry to basically get people out and traveling. So we got a lot of donated production costs from ad agencies, from television, and we ran it at a PSA. You don't get the exposure that you would, you know, through a play spot, but we did do some PSAs. We have not actually used public radio to any great extent for ads because, frankly, they don't allow it. We've talked to, like, for instance, Minnesota Public Radio. You can get a little short section, you know, a segment, news sponsored by Explore Minnesota Tourism. Go to exploreminnesota.com. That's it, you know. But you can't run a TV, you can't run a radio ad because of their FCC requirements, et cetera. But you can do sponsorships, and because we've looked at that, and I've talked to public radio about some of the advertising opportunities, and you can get a little bit of brand recognition, awareness, but you can't really run your spot. And then in response to your question regarding the cost for these spots, it varies, and you've got your production costs and your media costs, and your media cost is the big ticket, and that depends on what market that you're looking at. Roughly, I think that entire television campaign is probably 200, when you include the media buy, et cetera, don't quote me on this, but around $200,000 to $300,000.
Follow-up question.
Mr. Chairman, would Explore Minnesota be capable of producing programming that was tourism-focused that might be aired on public television or public radio?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, actually what we have, we're currently doing is we have sponsored a program, it's really called the Explore Minnesota Channel. And the Explore Minnesota Channel began by an entrepreneur in Minnesota that just basically wanted to use the brand Explore Minnesota to try to provide information in hotels. That's where it started, sort of an in-hotel cable channel. And so we granted him the use of that brand, and then he used that to go out and try to sell advertising. Now, he's taken that to the next level where he is actually airing that on some commercial stations, but also some non-commercial stations as well. He's trying to expand it currently in Chicago. We did something a while ago with a producer that was involved with public television, with Twin Cities Public Television. It was called Midwest Getaways, but it wasn't just focusing on Minnesota. It was also focusing on the region, et cetera. And so we were kind of working with them on some of the content side of that. So there is a way, actually, to use public television to promote Minnesota, but not in your traditional ad-buy approach.
Thank you.
Any other questions by the members? Or thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Would it be beneficial for anyone to go up to Breezy Point on Tuesday or Wednesday?
Yes, it would. Very much so, Mr. Chairman. Would you like to speak to our group on Thursday?
Well, you know, we're still discussing the budget because I'd like to see all the members go up there, but we don't know if we have a budget yet.
I'm going to be scolding my staff behind me who suggested I bring a copy of the conference brochure, which I did not, but I will make sure that every member is going to get a copy of the brochure.
Oh, we do have them?
She was ahead of me.
That would be fantastic.
We do have them right here. We'd love to see you all there. Thank you very much.
Our next meeting will be January 27th, 2005, same room, same time. Topic yet to be decided. And I would urge the members, if you have any ideas on how to promote tourism, make it better. However, no matter how crazy the idea might be, let's talk about it. Maybe we can be innovative and let's not forget the convention centers and, you know, Duluth, Minneapolis, St. Paul. They're important, too. With that, meeting's adjourned.
Meeting's adjourned.